Freedom again and rest.
Oh, how can you rest?
You believe in freedom again and rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men, black mother's sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mother's sons.
We
who believe in freedom again and rest. We who believe in freedom again and rest until it comes. The older I get, the better I know that the secret to my going on is with the razor in the hand of the young who dare to run against the storm. Not needing to clutch for power, not needing for the light just to shine on me. I need to be one in the number that we stand against tyranny.
To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or check our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Thank you to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose latest book is The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wings sound logo is from Lee Bana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Welcome to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. We feature interviews with leaders in the community, focusing on issues important in Washington County.
Welcome to Inside Washington County. I'm Rob Solomon. Today, we're going to discuss a very, very important issue with three wonderful guests. We're going to talk about homelessness or houselessness. Homelessness is a national, state, county, and city issue. It's a visible issue, and it's hidden as well. While we have areas throughout Greater Portland where tents or vehicles serve as sleeping places and homes for those with no other place to go, some see these places and feel sadness, some feel shame, and some complain about messes or feeling threatened. But what's behind the obvious? Do most homeless people in our county have mental health or addiction problems? Are they mainly criminals out to do us harm? Today, we want to understand the current homelessness situation in our county, what resources we have, what's being done, and with those resources, what's being done with those resources, and just what the future looks like. Our guests today will help us do just that. Joining us is Nathan Teske. Nathan is the executive director of Bienstar, a Washington County-based nonprofit that provides affordable housing for primarily Latinx residents of Washington County. He has over 15 years of experience improving outcomes for immigrant and low-income communities. And Marita Alcazar. Marita is a case manager working in Bienstar's new supportive housing services program. In addition to her work, Marita has a personal story of her own experience that she will share with us shortly. And we have Jess Larks. Jess works for Washington County. She is the county's supportive housing services manager. Thank you all very much for being with us today. Before we get into some questions, Marita, could you share with us the journey that you've taken?
Good morning.
Good.
Or afternoon. So yeah, part of my journey, before I started with Bienestar as the case manager, I myself have experienced homelessness, drug addiction, back and forth from, you know, crisis. So I believe that my past is what helps me with my current job nowadays. So let's say roughly 5 years ago, I found myself and four children. We were actually out on the streets looking for places to go. At one point in and out of the car. It was so stressful. I just thinking, just when I think about it, just it mind blows me. So
by all means.
We were lucky enough to get housed into a shelter. And I knew once I got into that shelter, I was working at McDonald's. I had been there for 4 years. You know, you don't get full-time hours. It's just here and there. And so I just wanted something different. At that point, I knew that I had so much under me. When I entered the shelter, I had been roughly about 6 years clean. Mm-hmm. And when I entered the shelter, I knew that I wanted something different for myself and for my children, definitely. So I was lucky enough, fortunate enough to get help into an apartment. So I stayed in the shelter for 6 weeks with my children. After that, I was able to find housing, and they helped me pay for 3 months. So I knew I needed 3 months to get my things together and make it. Because I knew I didn't want to put my children through any of that struggle ever again. A single mother, so I was like trying to figure it out.
Sure.
So once I got into the house, I was lucky enough to apply for a company that was a second chance company, meaning we help people find employment, bad backgrounds, you know, you name it.
Sure.
Not bad, but you know, second chance
difficult
background.
Yeah, difficult to hire background.
Yes, colorful background. So from there, we were fortunate enough to help. I helped so many people and I loved it. I knew I didn't want to stop. The feeling of, Medi, I got my apartment. Medi, I got a car. Medi, I'm able to pay for a bus ticket. You know, just, oh, Medi, I got my ID, or, you know, anything like that. It was just so empowering. I knew I did not want to stop, because I remember the moments that I was like, my gosh, I just need someone to just say, hey, help me really fast, please. Just quick help me and I'll get back to it. So after the shelter, I got that job and I stayed there for about 4 or 5 years due to COVID. You know, it just didn't work out after so long, and I was lucky enough to join Bienestad. And so working with Bienestad and the clients, participants that we currently have, I just love it. I constantly, when I'm having a conversation with a participant, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're feeling right now, or somewhat close to what you're feeling. So,
and I'm sure that they appreciate that, Marita, very, very much.
They do. They do. You know, some of the people homeless, they think no one has ever been on their side, or, you know, what remotely close to what they've been through. And I'm actually like, hey, I'm right here. I have, and we can make it together. And I'm happy to be here to help you make it.
That is excellent. Yeah. If I understood correctly, drug addiction had something to do with putting you out of a home, and you spent quite some time in your car, but I didn't catch how much before you were lucky enough to get into a shelter.
So I was about almost 2 years.
2 years before getting into a shelter?
Yes.
My, okay. That's because when I was listening to you, it sounded like things were going pretty quickly. And now I understand it did take a long time.
Well, I would say when I actually started looking for the help, that went really quick.
Well, yes. And I noticed that each step you took that made progress was like giving you more incentive to take another step.
Yes.
That sounded just lovely, by all means. Yes. I get that. But it wasn't like, oh, I'm homeless, and oh boy, now I can go into a shelter, and oh boy, the shelter's going to help me get into, and boy, time has hardly passed at all. No,
yeah.
This was a long term. If I may ask both you, Marita, and Nathan and Jess, all of you, how typical is Marita's story, or is there in fact any typical story for people who find themselves homeless in our county?
Typical for me, I would say almost everyone that I speak with has remotely the same story or close to the same story.
Interesting. Okay. Nathan, Jess, what about what you hear?
I think Jess might be able to speak better to countywide what we're seeing. Okay. I can speak to some things, and I'd like to, at the right moment, raise a couple other points as well. But Jess, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. First, thank you, Merdita. That's just, it's inspiring to hear your story. It's really brave of you to share your story. And I think it's so helpful to hear hope. Like, with help, there is hope. And when we have housing resources, when we have solutions, when we have programs and people to help people, it works. And that is, I think, to answer your question, Rob, that is the theme that unites the stories of need in Washington County. When there is help, both by way of people and housing resources together, there, hope is the only, I mean, there is infinite hope that we can provide the care and meet the needs of people experiencing homelessness of all different kinds. And I think that there is a lot of different, there are a lot of different features to how people experience homelessness, the challenges individuals have to overcome to get back inside and find housing stability and maintain housing stability. So the challenges are often very different and individual, but there are absolutely themes of what drives homelessness and what helps solve homelessness. And I think from a systems level perspective, it is fundamentally a limited availability of housing that is affordable to people with low incomes. And unfortunately, in our country, there are a lot of full-time jobs that are not living wage jobs that afford the cost of housing. And so working families, working individuals, regularly experience housing instability and homelessness because of a lack of housing options that are affordable to the wages that they are paid in their jobs. And that is a systems problem that can be solved both by policy changes to wage laws, but also by policy changes that invest in housing, affordable housing. And so that's the space that Nathan and I and our partners across Washington County work in, is creating housing options. And I think it's important when we talk about housing instability and homelessness that we're aware of the forces of the economy and the system beyond the housing system that also contribute to and drive homelessness. And it's that is a fundamental theme that we experience in this work. Not all jobs pay enough to afford what it costs to live in an apartment in Washington County.
Understood.
Yeah.
Thank you. Nate, go ahead.
Yeah, just to build on what Jess is saying, there's all sorts of things you can get into on the policy level. Besides highlighting the wage issue, which I agree with Jess about, I would also hope that your listeners who may be aware of the cost of housing, we're starting up a homeownership program at the same time as we're starting up this supportive housing services program. Essentially, what we're looking at is to buy a home, which I realize is different than we're placing in this program that Narita is part of, but mostly working with apartments. Mm-hmm. But the housing market is one big market. You can't even dream of getting a house in Washington County really for less than $400,000. Maybe there's a few, you know, but they're pretty far and few between.
Sure.
In my boring little neighborhood where I live, which I won't say where it is, you know, it's routine. And to me, it's a modest neighborhood. There are houses going for $600,000, $700,000. You say to yourself, well, okay, how is that related to homelessness? They're two sides of the same coin. Housing is so expensive at every level of the market. And I would just say that my organization does affordable housing. And of course, you know, I'm biased, but I think investment in affordable housing is absolutely worthwhile. And what that means is that we, as an affordable housing developer, take government subsidy and charge lower rates, right, than you would typically see in the market. However, I also believe that the market has a role to play, a huge role, because unless there's just never going to be enough subsidy to create all of the housing we need for the community. And so that is going to involve policy changes at the state and local level that we've started to see. We've seen the state encourage more density, which I know to many of our friends in Washington County makes them nervous because they're like, well, is the character of my neighborhood going to change? Or am I going to start seeing duplexes, triplexes, things that are new to my neighborhood? And unfortunately, I think the answer is yes, if we want to work our way out of this housing crisis. I have come to believe in my years at being a star that it's absolutely appropriate to do what we're trying to do and provide the services to work with people like Merida's talking about and that Jess is doing. And so firmly believe in that. However, it's also true that the state in the union with the highest issue around substance abuse is West Virginia, right? West Virginia does not have a homeless crisis like Oregon does, even though they have higher rates of substance abuse. Why? Housing is cheaper there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just math, right? You have people who might be getting Social Security or disability income who in some places in our country can actually find a place to live and just and get by.
Sure.
In Oregon, that's basically not possible in most metro areas of the state, and certainly it's not in Washington County. So what that, to me, if you look at the West Coast of the US and you look at other places around the country where there's homelessness, it's the same markets where you see these incredibly expensive homes and housing.
Yeah.
It's just very expensive. In a normal world, or in a truly market-based world, that would be a signal to people to build housing, right?
Sure.
But we have restrictive zoning laws that don't allow the market to fully respond to that sort of demand. So that's sort of my pitch on the policy. It's like, we need more housing. We certainly need more affordable housing, and organizations like mine are ready to start building it, but we probably just need more housing in the marketplace too. So anyway, that's my little pitch there.
Well, thank you, Nathan. And given that, what Jess said, what we've talked about so far, and given a recent Metro, fairly recent Metro bond passing, various government resources, faith-based organizations, nonprofits, just what resources do we have in our county to actually create more housing, more affordable housing? I guess I'd direct that to you first, Jess.
Well, this is what's so exciting about this work right now in our community, and what gives me hope every day that stories like Merida's are just the tip of the spear of all of the households who are finally going to get the help and support they need to get back inside and achieve housing stability because of caseworkers like Merida doing the work she's doing now. So yes, this is a really exciting question to get to answer with you, Rob. So the two measures that voters have recently approved in 2018 and 2020 on the regional ballot provide solutions and investments to our housing crisis that have never been available to us since federal divestment began about 40 years ago. So federal divestment away from affordable housing, away from public housing investments, began 40 years ago, which is when homelessness, as we are currently experiencing it, began to grow in the country. And now with these local regional ballot measures, we here in the Portland metro area and Washington County have tools to build back what we've lost and respond to this community need. And we're really leading the nation with this level of investment. There's not this kind of local investment matched anywhere else in the county right now when you add the impact of these two ballot measures. And they work strategically together. One is a capital funding mechanism, a bond, right? It's gonna build places for people to live in affordable housing. In fact, they're already starting to open across the region. It's very exciting. People are getting housed right now and moving into these buildings. The other part is ongoing operating funding. And what that funds are, what we often talk about is the two of the three pillars in supportive housing. And the three pillars of supportive housing are deeply affordable rent assistance to make sure that the gap between the rate of rent and what a very low income household can afford is covered, so that the household pays just what they can afford, which is about 30% of their income. Two, a case manager, or what we call sometimes as the wraparound supports, the community that makes sure that that household has the supports they need to find housing stability. Sometimes that's a recovery program. Sometimes it's an employment program. Sometimes it's a mental health caseworker. Sometimes it's a combination of things for the perpetuity. And sometimes it's short-term wraparound supports to help that family and our household achieve stability. But nonetheless, it's the wraparound case manager support. And then three, the place, the home, the unit that the family can and the individual can move into. So the housing bond is the first leg of that stool, creating the homes. And the supportive housing services measure, more recently approved by voters, provides the other two legs of that stool. And together they will be working to help end homelessness in our community over the next 10 years.
The 2020 measure that passed included some ambitious goals and heralded a strong working relationship between the three counties in Greater Portland, at least as I read it. I'm just wondering if anyone here can tell me if the three counties are in fact cooperating in spending these funds wisely. Anybody willing to take that one on?
Well, I'm willing to, but I do I currently work for one of those counties. So I will answer as the bureaucrat that I am, but it's also great to hear from the community partners who are working with both measures. And Deanna Starr, in fact, does work with both measures. And I think Nathan will be able to add a more kind of realistic or from the ground view of that question. But yes, I am happy and confident to report to you, Rob, that yes, the regional coordination is tremendous right now, made possible by these investments, and with the support of Metro, the regional government, but also with the full support of all the partnering jurisdictions who are participating in the implementation of these two measures. There are three counties and one, two, three, four cities, Beaverton, Hillsborough, City of Portland, and Gresham as well. So all of these jurisdictions are expeditiously working to implement these measures and working in a coordinated fashion together to maximize the regional impact. But that's my bureaucrat answer. What do you think, Nathan?
I think Jess is closer to the regional collaborations. We're focused really on Washington County. I mean, I certainly hear, you know, what's going on in Portland and Clackamas County and so on, but you know, I'll just say, maybe I'm biased, but Washington, I think Washington is doing really well. I think they've done a great job hiring. Jess is one of those people. But across the board, the people I think we've interacted with at the county to ramp up this program, it's been a positive experience. So without knowing for sure what's happening in the other two counties, I feel good about Washington County and what the housing department at the county has done for both the bond that Jess mentioned and the supportive housing services funding. You know, there's always little bumps along the road. We have two big projects that we're building under the bond that Jess mentioned. And so we interact with people who are in Jess's department, but kind of a separate area. But, you know, I think Washington County should feel good about the way the county's running these programs, getting them up. To my knowledge, our county was a faster, I think, certainly than Clackamas, and I think Multnomah too, at least. So I think that's good. I think there's been a real sense of urgency, which is certainly appropriate, given what we're seeing.
Excellent. Because I think everybody has to get along. Portland is one large area, and I wouldn't like to see the counties fighting. And I was struck by a recent article by the director of the Shelter Now program, comparing homelessness in Biloxi, Mississippi, of all places, to Portland, Oregon. The author says both cities have adequate resources, but Biloxi's resources are well coordinated. Portland's resources are not coordinated much at all. This is according to the author. He calls for more partnerships. Now, I just listened to you guys. Does the greater Portland area lack the coordination necessary to be more effective?
Well, I don't know about Biloxi. Okay. And maybe this isn't directly answering your question, Rob. So without knowing anything about the circumstances there, Mississippi is a state that has much lower incomes than Oregon.
Good point. Yes.
But if you look at the statistics that HUD collects, does not have anywhere near the homeless rate. It's kind of like the West Virginia example I gave earlier. So without knowing how well they're coordinating or any of the details of what, you know, Biloxi is doing, the challenge is probably a little easier. Maybe I'll take an example, and Jess, you can correct me if I get, and maybe even you too, Marita, but if I get some of the details wrong here. This levy that was passed, the supportive housing levy, has one of the big features of it is this long-term rent assistance, right? So Marita will be working with people, and the sort of path that I think we're working with is engage on the street level, coordinate, get them ready to move into a bridge shelter, stay in a bridge shelter, and then eventually into what we hope is permanent housing. Similar to the story that she told us about her experience. So we're trying to scale that on a bigger level, right? Mm-hmm. However, the end point is permanent housing, right? So it's great that we have the rent assistance dollars to do that, but there has to be a place that somebody can move into, and there has to be an adequate number of those homes.
Yes.
So I'm gonna just throw out, without having checked, you know, Biloxi price of housing, it's cheaper in Biloxi to get somebody into an apartment, and it's more available. Way back when I met, when Jess was starting at the county, and I had known her from previous work, she told me about some of the ambitious goals that the county had around the number of, I think it's 500, right, Jess? Right, 500, okay. And so I was a little bit of a downer, because I said, like, do you think there's 500 apartments in the market right now? Even if you got the money, so you got the money, right? And of course, all of these placements that we're working on, we're still part of the marketplace, right? Landlords in our county, private landlords, can decide, should I rent to the guy who just got a job as an engineer at Intel?
Right.
Or should I rent to the guy that Marita's trying to house, or the family? Well, you know, you put yourself in the landlord's shoes, and probably you're gonna sort of say, well, maybe I'll go with the guy from Intel. And then, you know, what's he gonna pay in rent? Or he or she, I should say, right? Right, I mean, so that's just a reality now. So we need more options. Obviously, the affordable housing bond is one, and we are gonna be bringing hundreds and thousands of units online. But frankly, even that probably won't be enough, right? So I'm a bit on a soapbox, but if there are any elected officials who listen to your show, Rob, and I think they do, because last time I was on your show, the mayor, I got a call, I'll just say that, about something. And so I think they do. And, you know, we're gonna need more density. I hate to say that. I know some people won't like that message, and I know it will make them uncomfortable because it may change the neighborhood they're part of now. But if we don't do it, we're gonna have people on the streets. I'll just say that. So anyway.
Thank you, Nathan. Jess, Marita, do you, either of you have anything to add?
I completely agree with Nathan. As I'm working with these clients or participants, I was just mind blown the other day. I was on the phone trying to help. I'm at the step where we're able to get this. We have a gal in the shelter, elderly lady. She needs housing, you know, long-term apartment searching for her and I. She goes, oh my gosh, I think I found a place, a one bedroom. Can you give them a call and follow up with for me? I said, yeah, of course. Give me the number. Well, sure enough, I call the number and I go, hi, you know, my name is Marita Alcazar, case manager, a little spiel. And then I ask, how much is your one bedroom? Well, he goes, anywhere from $1,750 up to $2,300. I was like, and it's here in Beaverton, you know, the resources that we have for rental assistance, we're able to help in Washington County only. Washington County only, one bedrooms are easily, you know, $1,500 and up. Now for someone with SSI that barely make, you know, this, I've seen some cases where they only get $7 a month. It's like, how do you even, it's just mind blowing to me. So I, you know, had to tell the guy, well, thank you very much. I'll follow up with you another day. $1,750 is in, like, it took the words out of me. I didn't even know how to respond for a moment, you know?
Folks, we are out of time. This is a topic we could talk about for hours and hours and hours, although the radio stations may not give us all that time. But with all due respect, thank you so much for joining us, all three of you. Your perspectives are wonderful. And the only thing I have to say is I wish you luck in your work. Thank you again for joining us. And to our listeners, if you have comments about this program or questions, feel free to get in touch with me at rob@insidewashco.org.
Thank you for listening to Inside Washington County with Rob Solomon. Go to our website, insidewashco.org, to contact us or leave comments on this.
Listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
On this Friday, Moving On will be presenting part one of a program honoring Black History Month. You will hear folk artists including Odetta, Paul Robeson, Rhiannon Giddens, Leadbelly, Sweet Honey and the Rock, and many others. Moving On starts right after the noon news to 1:30. Tune in this Friday to celebrate Black History in Song. Part two will air Friday, February 25th, right after the noon news, only on KBOO. Thank you.